It turns out I'm a little ambivalent about doing these. It's been 2 weeks since the last one, and I think way too much. So there's no end to the content that I could be streaming all the time. And when it comes to the Lit AF podcast proper, well, the chapters have already been written. The commentary is just waiting and the reading. Not that big a deal. But there's something about this stuff, even though I think it all day long, that makes it a little harder. And I feel a little bit more reluctant in, well, I can't even use phrases like pulling the trigger anymore, but in putting the live stream on and starting the riff. And I think that's because I'm afraid of being misunderstood. We live in this crazy high tension culture where everyone is so vulnerable. And they may not see it that way, but we have so many exposed nerves. People are so quick to hurt and so quick to anger. And I love everybody. I mean, if you give somebody more than a few minutes, they'll give you a reason to dislike them that's usually way better than the obvious. There's no reason to dislike or discount anyone ever, really. But certainly not on the basis of demographic data, right? Race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, all of those things are reasons to fall in love with people, if only because the more different they are from you, the more you can learn from them. But I still fear being misunderstood, right? I mean, we've all been in even close relationships or family relationships, marriages, where we thought we were being clear. We may have even thought we were listening to what was being made clear to us. And yet something went horribly wrong. And because of the tone of our culture and because of the nature of this media, it's a little scary out there. So I guess, first of all, before I go any further, if you ever have a question, or if you ever get offended, or if I ever say something that you think is just so profoundly fucking stupid that you want to draw my attention to it to help me become a better person, I do love my swearing, so that's that. But please ask me a question, send me a comment, and, you know, don't be a dick. But I try to head this off by being clear. And one of the ways I try being clear is by drawing on the lessons that I've learned over the course of my life from people who communicated with me. And when I was thinking about this topic, I was thinking about an assistant basketball coach at my high school. Now, I played at a high school in Los Angeles. My first year as a player, as a sophomore in high school, was actually the head coach's first year as a coach. And Bobby Braswell, if he ever gets tagged in this and sees this, hey, coach. It's David. He went on to a very successful career, and he's still coaching in college. I think he's the assistant coach at Long Beach State now. And that thing when your battery says, oh, I'm dying, so plug it in. And he was tough. I even looked him up on Wikipedia recently, and it says he's tough. But I remember him yelling and throwing clipboards and doing all sorts of things that would get people canceled for all sorts of reasons. And I love the guy, and we played our hearts out for him. But the reason I was thinking about basketball back then today is that we had an assistant coach named Troy Robinson. I think his name was Troy, but it was Coach Robinson. And Coach Robinson, man, this guy, first of all, he dressed like, you know, dapper, Bill Cosby-esque yuppie way before, you know, Bill Cosby is another fucking guy. But, you know, cardigan sweaters and loafers and super professional and just like spot on. And then he'd surprise you by, in his loafers, from a standstill, jump up and dunk a basketball. And he was shorter than me. And I'm only about 5'10". Well, at the end of the day now, I'm about 5'10". I used to be 6 feet in the morning. Coach would always yell, "That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about." We never knew what the fuck he was talking about. Sometimes that could be a good thing, someone could make a great play or a hustle, dive out of bound, floor burn, bang into the bleachers, but save the ball, or just run back on defense and save a play. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. But also, someone could just have a brain fart and miss an assignment on defense, or just throw a ball out of bounds for no motor control good reason that we could see. Man, that's what I'm talking about. And then we'd be on the line to run 30s because we weren't allowed to call them suicides. There wasn't a sensitivity around it back then. It was just stop being such a, you know, I can't even fill in the blank, but don't be weak. So that's what I'm talking about. And we had to figure it out from context and consequence, because the phrase itself, we couldn't decipher. And even the tone of voice, we couldn't decode. So what are we talking about when we talk it about? What are we talking about when we are trying to convey meaning, when we are dogging for attention, when we are trying to persuade, when we are trying to inform or get informed? I don't know. And I think that for all of the ink spilled over the thousands of years, for all of the air consumed into carbon dioxide, trying to figure this out, it seems to me like there are a lot of people who are more interested in hearing themselves speak, which is why I'm so reluctant to do this kind of thing, because I don't want to be confused with those people. And I do say those people in that context. The art of communicating is on the chopping block. You know, George Orwell wrote this wonderful essay on politics in the English language and talked about doublespeak. And if you've ever read 1984, you see it. Well, fuck, if you've ever watched a political speech, an election speech, you've seen it. You see it in all of the rhetoric that people use around children and parents and families. I don't remember the last time I saw a honest-to-goodness representation of children in the media that wasn't using them for some purpose, like the Kids Online Safety Act right now. Go to EFF.org and read about that for real. It's venal. It guts First Amendment freedoms. It guts the rights and protections for LGBTQ plus community members and for vulnerable people of all sorts. But it's kids and safety in the title. You know, I pause sometimes to recollect my thoughts, and I pause sometimes to reorganize things. But that reminds me of one of the single best strategies I've ever learned in conversation. It works in close friendships and loving relationships. It works in teaching and learning exchanges. It works in mediating and managing conflict. And of all places, I learned it in a Tony Hillerman novel. I don't remember which one, but Tony Hillerman wrote these great detective procedurals in and around the Four Corners area, you know, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado. Mostly Navajo and Hopi reservation territory. And in one of the books, he made the point that the Navajo speakers would listen quietly while another person spoke, but then also let a beat go by after the speaker was finished to ensure that the speaker didn't have something else to add, and that there was a quiet, a space between the end of one speaker's comment and the beginning of the next speaker's comment. And for some reason, that jumped out at me in a way that was surprising you know, it's been there my whole life. I've always spoken quickly. I've always thought more quickly than I've spoken. When someone is speaking, I'm processing. I am, believe it or not, listening. I got in so much trouble in school because teachers would accuse me of not listening because I'd be doing other stuff or on to the next thing or answering their question halfway through their sentence. But I could repeat the last three paragraphs back to them, which made it all worse. But it's not about me processing the information. It's about everyone in the conversation feeling held, feeling safe and secure, feeling that someone else cares enough to pay attention to them, that they have the floor. And because I was so ready to jump in with both feet, even if it was coming from a place of care, like, hey, I want you to worry about this, I got this, that wasn't empathy. That wasn't actually caring in the way that the other speaker needed to feel cared for. So at some point I realized that the best way that I could show that I cared and that I could understand maybe a deeper level of what they were talking about was to give my attention and presence in the form of my quiet and my time. And the practice carried its own message. Sometimes it actually makes the other person curious. To this day, once in a while, although I've even spoken with my wife about this, to this day, every once in a while, it's like, what? And the silence creates its own curiosity. I'm debating in this moment whether or not, yeah, I think it's important. I was debating whether or not to talk about talking to ourselves, because I managed to actually interrupt myself when I talk to myself. And I talk to myself all the time. If you've ever tried meditating, and all I mean by that is if you've ever tried sitting quietly in a room, which Blaise Pascal said this is the source of most of people's misery. But if you've ever tried sitting with yourself and then all of a sudden realizing how much chatter there is, and all the to-dos and all the stressors and all the stuff and all the current events and everything else, you can realize how much you jump on your own, that's what I'm talking about, without really knowing what the fuck you're talking about. And what I mean by that is, if I sit quietly, I immediately think about, oh my God, I'm sitting quietly in front of a camera, which means dead air, which means is somebody going to turn this off because they have attention span of a flea on meth having been set on fire? I don't know. I'd like to think that just the ability to say, oh wow, I'm watching a lot of thoughts play out on this screen behind my eyelids. I could choose to be with those thoughts. I could choose to kind of watch them float away like leaves on a stream or blow away like dandelions in the wind. But who's the me behind all of that? And oh, by the way, in my waking moments, when I'm talking to someone other than my own head, maybe I should remember to take a beat and be more intentional. Maybe I can afford to let some time go by. Maybe then I'd understand a little bit more about what they're talking about. And oh, here's a little bit of a postscript. If you're a person who's just smitten with AI and watching this is the closest you get to actual interaction with another human being because you're so like into the screens, and that's a lot of us. No value judgment. But prompt engineering, the fuck is that other than saying, here's what I really want, and understanding the language of the recipient well enough to codify what you really want into terms that are understandable so as to help the other party get you what you want? Well, what's marriage therapy other than prompt engineering? I think it's important for all of us, and I say this to me first, to be able to understand our own thought process well enough to get clear, to take a moment, to define our terms, and to get across what it is that we're really talking about. Have a great day.